Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to another episode of the Ready, Set, Poem Podcast, your premier podcast covering stuff and things. I am Chris at Lifeforce, joined virtually by Ani at Omnistrife and Jordan Answer, Dr. JM, host of the One Man Watchpoint Podcast. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, hello. Happy to be here.
Look, I knew we were covering stuff. I didn't realize we were covering things, too.
I'm sorry. There's three of us.
I didn't put that in a rundown. In fact, I didn't give you a rundown.
I have a recommendation. Yeah. So we can split up, right? And well, Jordan is already accustomed to running a show solo. So we have OWCS. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Esports World Cup. And now Face It League is a thing. So we can each grab one and try to go from there.
And report back.
Is it
like we just record individually and then.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto is going to play in all of three, I guess, in some capacity. So.
We each record an 18-minute segment, and then you just put them all together, and they just go right into
the show.
Exactly. Just at the end of each one, you just have to be like, over to you, Jordan. Over to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks, Alex.
It's going to be so natural.
Exactly. No one will
know. Maybe we're already in it. Maybe that's how this show is produced. We're just so good at it already, you know?
Recording independently. Splicing
This was all recorded individually. We just practiced the hell out of the script, you know?
In case you didn't realize, there is some overlay because we didn't get the timing quite right. And that's why there's maybe subtle interruptions here and there.
Yeah, I agree with you, Jordan.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, no, see, this is the thing. What he just said would have been perfect.
Yes.
And then there's the pause reaction of, you know, what's going on. Ah, now who knows what's going on.
It's just technical issues.
Yeah. Yes,
we used to be the premier podcast covering the Toronto Defiant and the Vancouver Titans. And I was thinking about this, like the Titans are gone. So that's out of the intro. And then are we really the premier podcast covering the Toronto Defiant? I don't know. Actually, are there any other podcasts covering the Toronto Defiant these days? Like,
look, don't put that call out there.
We're still the best. It doesn't matter.
Okay, so I could still put that as our tagline?
Of course. So we just intimidate all the possible competition away, you know?
Exactly. Sure. So somewhat related to this, when the Titans officially announced that they were, you know, peacing out forever, I had said, oh, RSP maybe needs a new logo. Three different people reached out. Hey, I'd love to design
a
logo for you.
Yeah. No.
Wow.
And I had to reply politely to all three of them, like, I'm just joshing, like, you know.
Hold up. We have a Toronto Defiant only logo as well, right?
Well,
but it's, I guess, the logo is so associated with us at this point, maybe.
Yeah, but the one that we have is a split. I guess you're right, because there was that original, you know, Toronto Defiant one that you probably may still have a copy of. I mean, I do. We could go and just change our logo and ta-da, there we are. Look at that. RSP. We've gone full.
What about all the full CMR? Three remaining Vancouver Titans fans, though, who may or may not be on this show?
Well, okay. There's actually a few more than that because a number of the old Vancouver Titans fans are cheering on Luminosity because apparently that's the catch. Despite the fact that Luminosity is owned by Enthusiast Gaming, which maybe there is a relationship there, who knows, is so gray, fuzzy, what have you. But at no point in time did Luminosity ever own the Titans. So I don't see the connection. I'd rather go cheer for Punk's new team.
You can say that all you want. I still don't believe you.
No one
does. I choose to believe in Luminosity and Enthusiast Gaming.
Yeah, no one believes me. Something else you may or may not as a listener believe, the Toronto Defiant won something.
That was a great spin on it.
You know, in fairness, they've won something. They've won kind of a major. Is it a major? Like, it wasn't an actual tournament, was it?
Well, I mean, yes, it was. It was the culmination of stage one, right? If you look at the graphics they have when they announced OWCS in the first place, it was, you know, it's the equivalent of how we used to do four stages in a season, and then, you know, they sort of got rid of that and went to two. is the equivalent of the first stage.
I don't know if Alex knows he's muted, or if he's doing a play on, because you were breaking up to me, Jordan.
Oh, was I?
Oh. So it's just the splicing is not working. No, I was just saying, like, in Liquipedia, if you go, like, yeah, Overwatch Champion Series is a A-tier tourney with a first in pretty gold there.
Yep.
So I guess that counts.
Yep. That's a great summary of exactly what I said.
Now the splicing on Jordan's end is not.
Yeah, okay. So it's not just me. Jordan is, like, breaking up big time.
Yeah. A little bit.
Okay. It's the point I see your mouth moving, Jordan, and every so often I get sound.
So, yeah, I guess it's, like, it's quite impressive. And I know that there is kind of another stage to it where we want to see them go up against the other big dogs, but those weren't still finalized in the other regions. So, Dallas, we're going to see them again eventually.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know what? Let's dive. Let's actually dive into freight.
Yeah. So
let's push the payload.
Let's do this.
Moving the payload. Join me.
Technical issues aside, it was not a lie. The Toronto Defiant won Stage 1 North America. Went undefeated. And undefeated in regards to matches. They lost a few maps nearer to the end.
Finally.
Yeah, fair play. The Defiant were dominant by definition of the word. Like, not a, oh, they didn't play so-and-so and it just didn't work out. The fact remains, though, is that, yeah, I guess, you know, as Jordan had pointed out, there's four stages. They won stage one. Okay, fair play. I guess the struggle for me, and I'm not trying to take anything away from the dominant stage, is that there are, like, you know, two sort of big events, Dallas and Stockholm. And I would perceive that as the major. But is the stage the major? If that's the major, what's Dallas and what's Stockholm? The major?
I see what you're saying.
Super League. The Champions League, right? What they have in Europe for soccer or football, however you call it. So you win your local championship, and then you have a sort of a clash between champions, okay, like the gauntlet used to be.
So it's like the FIFA Club Championship where, you know,
yeah,
Vancouver Whitecaps SC could magically take on, like, Arsenal and get throttled. Mm-hmm.
They got some dough at the end. So.
That's true.
But yeah, I watched, you know, Toronto's matches in the upper bracket. They never dropped below it. There were some stumbles along maps lost, but like you said, they were the team to beat, right? It's an interesting position to be in. And I guess, like, despite being, like, maybe the most stacked roster, you still gotta, you know, come up there and do the work. So yeah, they did so impressively. I really liked what I saw from the roster, obviously, with Merritt and Sugar Free and Vega and someone. They're just a good team. I'm very curious. This is, like, a perfect setup to, you know, how well they compare to the other big dogs. And that's another thing that a lot of people brought up in the NA region. There's not a lot of teams maybe that could compete at the highest level with Toronto. A blessing and a curse in a way, so I'm very curious to see that.
For those who may not have been paying attention going through the brackets, the Toronto Defiant did lose a map to LFO. Timeless made it interesting the first time the two met up in the upper bracket. But that was it. Toronto then didn't lose a map for the rest of the way. There are some who would argue that Luminosity in M80 never got a shot at Toronto. So therefore, you know, oh, did anything really get proven? Well, okay, maybe Luminosity,
yeah, but,
like, M80 did not look good against Toronto when they did face them eventually. And Timeless tried to do the San Francisco route where you get a chip in your shoulder, go into the loser's bracket after a close match and then run the table. They just didn't have an answer for the Defiant in the final. So Luminosity maybe was the one asterisk, but I wouldn't suggest that Luminosity looked all that good. They just put together a win over Shikigami, which Toronto would completely wipe the table with. Pirates in pajamas go, you know, beat up by Luminosity, but that was it.
Yeah, nobody really looked to be able to beat Timeless. Also, very good performance from the guys. Like, you don't really normally associate some of the names on there. They're pretty young, like Rocket and their tank line in Riker and Icy. But of course, there's Opener and CJ, some more familiar names from the Owl days. But props to them, you know, like looking at a roster up and down, nobody could beat them outside of Toronto. So that makes Toronto the best team. And I know it's a 4-0. There were some close maps, even in the finals against Timeless, like Esperanza was very close. But it was close and also not close in a way, if you know what I mean. Sometimes there's maps that like are close, but you don't really get a sense of the team that ended up winning that they actually are in any risk to losing it.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Nepal could have gone either way. Esperanza, very close.
Yeah.
But do you honestly think, let's say Timeless takes those two maps, that it turns out to be a different result? I get that, well, hey, it's 2-2 after four. Well, but
by definition, it is a different... at the end of the day, yeah, I don't think Toronto was at any risk of losing it.
No, and, you know, yeah, that's the other thing, is the fact that they would have been picking maps. Sure. You know, the result is likely the same simply because Toronto goes to their wheelhouse, whereas Timeless mm-hmm. was attempting to find something that would work out in their favor.
Yeah.
All right. This is me testing to see if you guys can hear me now, and it's laggy or what? What's going on?
What?
Yeah.
Just feed the hamster currently, you know, keeping your router on. It'll start spinning.
I finally fed the hamster. It was looking a little lethargic there, but it's probably been about a week since it ate. So anyways, seems like it's good now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, mm-hmm. good. That was, I think you guys covered pretty much everything I would have said, but, yeah, Toronto is dominant. And I think that's, one of the big takeaways is it will be very interesting to see if any team outside of Toronto stands a chance mm-hmm. at international play in the Dallases and the Stockholms.
If anyone stands a chance against Toronto?
Sorry. If any other team in the North American region stands a chance of making it to those international tournaments other than Toronto. I think Toronto is the only one that has a realistic shot. And even then, it sure will be interesting to see the differences between them and I believe Falcons, sorry if that's a spoiler, but I believe they just won OWCS Korea in the first stage or what have you that they had. So they've got some mm-hmm. stiff competition in the other regions.
Yeah, there's good teams in EMEA. You have like Ents and Twisted Minds. There's a lot of teams that are really...
And they're shaking it up, too.
Punch, like, big heavyweights, I agree. Mm-hmm. In Asia, yeah, there's still the... I think they still need to play, like, the combined version of that between, like, Korea and Japan.
True.
But, yeah, the teams from, obviously, Falcon...
WAC.
Yeti, WAC are all good. Did WAC qualify? I don't even
think. WAC came second, I thought. I thought it was
the... Because I'm looking... I think you're right, but I'm like looking at the bracket now.
I think it was Falcons versus WAC in their final event.
Yeah.
And Falcons won. Which, hey, I mean, their team looked like a super team from the get-go. So, WAC. You know.
That's who said we're WAC? You said we're WAC?
I'm sure that's what
remember
they said.
Remember that one? Yeah. There's nothing really to gauge it by. Like, where does Toronto stack up to these teams? But it'd definitely be closer than what we saw in NA. That's 100%.
It's very interesting to think about. You know, I kind of, on one hand, I struggle because we always had this, you know, sort of divided international play, especially in the later mm-hmm. seasons of the Overwatch League, where the regions were quite split and, you know, they didn't play against each other except for in certain finals. But just with, I feel like having more regions and with the format now having, you know, like they say, an open system and a grassroots system, it feels a lot more divided sort of thing. And almost more interesting. I feel like before it felt like all teams were on more even ground, whereas now it feels like the regions are just that much more separated, that it's almost going to be, in my mind, it feels a little more special that we're going to see them meet up in Dallas and Stockholm and really kind of prove their mettle, if you will.
I agree. And I think that that's where Overwatch esports shines.
Yeah.
The most, especially not just the regionality of it all, and we're going back to that little story of does geolocation matter? Well, it does, especially if you make everything you can to have it separate. Mm-hmm. But also the meta and how like teams approach the game is fairly different. Mm-hmm. So that's cool to see as well. Looking forward to that.
If you follow some of the talent in the other regions as well. I think it was Rush and Moon were talking, and there's some comments that they've made about how they feel about the other regions and things like that.
Oh, throw shade, yeah.
Yes, it largely sounds like, you know, they don't put much respect on the other regions. And, you know, I'm curious to see how it plays out, but... I'm, you know, of course, I'm hopeful it bites them in the butt a little bit because I'd love to see
Toronto as opposed to shut them up to Korea.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's fair to say that most, if not everyone outside of Toronto, looks at Asia as being the region to beat. And I don't think that's unfair just because of the, you know, historically, you know, it has had the most talent. Regardless, looking at the second stage, at least the group stage for Toronto, I don't want to say that they've won their group, but I think they've won their group.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, I think we talked about this in the last group stage as well. You know, Swiss stage was, of course, the 5th through the 7th. So by the time you're hearing this, it's already passed, meaning the group stage is coming up starting on April 12th and running through the 21st. Now, of course, that's two different weekends in there. But I think I had talked about the fact that I watched some of that Swiss stage and even some of the group stage, and I was kind of a little bit like, in a lot of ways, if you're a Toronto fan, you don't really need to watch these matches, you know? There wasn't much of a fight put up against them. Mm-hmm. They were fairly dominant. And I'm just looking here to see the actual schedule. Looks like they're playing against DSTD. That must be Team Dust DT.
Yes.
If I'm reading that right.
Dust being their tank.
Ah, fair enough. There you go.
Dust is Canadian. I mean, props to the kid for rocking the maple leaf. He's partnered with Blizz, Ezra, Shaq, and Reverse. I don't know any of them.
There you go. Now, that was not Shaq's with an X, was it?
Shaq with a Q.
Darn. And, oh, wow, Shaquille O'Neal?
I mean, if it is Shaquille O'Neal, congratulations on making the turnover to esports.
What does your average mouse look like in that guy's palm? Like, he must have an oversized mouse because he's got such gigantic hands.
You know, if we're on the topic...
It's probably a roll ball.
Oh, yeah.
If we're on that topic...
But it's the size of a basketball. Like,
you know, Luka Doncic is a very good Overwatch player.
Oh, really?
He's now an MVP candidate in the NBA, obviously, to those who don't know, averaging like 33 points. And he's also a GM in Overwatch. He's a GM rank.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. Go look it up. It's fairly interesting. He bounced into a Moxie stream.
Oh, yeah.
And he was playing Zarya, and he's like GM1.
No kidding.
How annoying it is to see.
That's hilarious. That
this guy was like a peak level. He's not like a scrub in the NBA either. He's like one of the best basketball players in the whole freaking world. Yeah. And...
I found
he's a GM. Book. Just, you know, I like this video game. I'll be a GM in Overwatch.
Do you think he takes it? Like, he's PC, I presume.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. No, so do you think he takes it on the road? So he's GM on hotel Wi-Fi?
Possible.
I don't know. Probably not. I don't think he plays that much, but he's good enough to be a GM. So that's kind of cool.
Zarya. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say the other teams that are in the Toronto group, you've got Visored and Dildux. Dildux
are very Canadian.
Yeah. They've got a couple Americans and the rest Maple Leaf. The only name I recognize is Razor. That's the only one. Not to suggest there's any validity to whether or not I recognize a name, because I'll be very honest, I have not really followed anything outside of
Overwatch
League top tier.
I recognize Bagel from the food, but not from Overwatch.
And then, Visored again. I don't recognize any of the names, which isn't suggestive of anything.
Like, you don't recognize Massive Poop?
Oh, no, I don't. It's been a while.
Wait, where's Massive Poop playing on?
It's on Visored.
Wow.
I want to hear that on stream.
And he's a flex, too. You know, that's, yeah.
Well, here comes Massive Poop leading the charge.
Does Fried Wiener make a return just to get an opportunity to actually have his name back?
What is he up to these Poop, days?
That's awesome. Oh, my God. That's an awesome name. I'm a fan already. Like,
yeah, me too.
Just from that alone.
Shocker. Man. Okay. Well, if we record another episode in a month's time, we'll be able to report on whether or not we think the Toronto Defiant will, be in Dallas. Well, we know they are. They won stage one. But two, how they'll perform.
Look at M80 signing Happy and Pelican. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah. That's be interesting.
A little bit more stacked.
Who did they have before?
They had Hydron.
Oh, that's right. Was Hydron on?
Spectra.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, what a tale.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff, things,
Toronto, though, they're like super buffed because they're the only OWCS team to have like an official skin in the game. And I think that's kind of unfair. You know how stickers give you like extra 20 horsepower to your car? That's kind of like how it is.
So on the top of in-game cosmetics, because now we get to actually see a lot more.
Yeah, that's cool.
And how like the former, league players have the, official Overwatch League player verified.
Yeah.
I want that.
I like that.
I want that too.
Yeah.
Who can hook us up?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Luka Doncic could.
Yeah, maybe.
A verified NBA player. Imagine he gets that sticker.
Oh. Anywho, we'll take ourselves a short break, collect ourselves before we dive into the fray.
Back into the fray.
So originally I wasn't going to start with the big news, but let's start with the big news.
Do it.
The Overwatch, or let me rephrase that. The Overwatch Blizzard. Game we love. Blizzard is back in China. Microsoft, Blizzard, whomever, the powers that be, got together with NetEase. They sorted whatever needed to be sorted, and they just announced that Blizzard titles will be back in China. Why is that important? That opens the region up again. Mm-hmm. I'm curious how that may change stage two for Asia now that sort of China's back in the mix. Could that, I'm going to say muddy the waters, but create an entirely, new meta onto itself outside of the game? And if it were is that going to be the 2025 OWCS thing, if it were to be?
I mean, the interesting thing we see, and again, I think this is something that we had touched on last time, but the interesting thing is that orgs have the opportunity to sort of buy in or sponsor already existing teams now, right? This is what we saw with Luminosity, you know, entering the fray. They kind of partnered with, I believe it was Maryville Esports, and, you know, basically said, all our branding is going on this team and we're probably going to pay for stuff for you, I have to assume. There's another one that I can't think. Crazy Raccoons is a Japanese org that just announced they're essentially taking on one of the Japanese teams.
Announce that they're taking one of the Korean teams?
Oh, is it one of the Korean teams?
WAC.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, that's why I couldn't recognize, I think, WAC in the bracket. They're now rebranded to Crazy Raccoons.
That's right. The point that I'm thinking is, you know, I think that's an easy way for orgs who may be interested, of course, Chinese orgs, that may be interested to step into the game, right? They can, you know, survey the scene and basically scoop up a team.
It's not just stepping in the game by acquiring a team. It's also opening up a player.
Region, of course.
Right.
And there may be, you know, the only thing that I don't really know how the format works over there, because they only have two stages, but they also have a wild card event and things like that.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it gets a little muddy because I'm not super familiar with that, but you know, in theory, yeah, you certainly could have new teams altogether entering the fray if the format allows for it. And then you could also see that, you know, larger investment from an org scooping someone up kind of thing.
Yeah. Also in my head canon is like Blizzard these things take a while to rework. So maybe, just maybe, that's why we only get the two slots from the Asia Pacific region. Mm. Maybe there's a quick little fix that we can.
Someone knew something and adjusted the math so it worked out in such a way that allowed for
they left the door open for Shy and Leave and Gushue to pop off. I'd love to see them back. We already saw there were leaks. A couple of weeks ago already, I think on the Faceit side or wherever people registered, like the Hangzhou Spark, they're already kind of banded or glued together Team China. Mm-hmm. So that team, obviously, in terms of their level of Overwatch, they're like instantly top tier. Well,
and there's even, I can't remember which because I'm not following it too closely, but there's an org in the Korean region right now that is very much using a lot of that Hangzhou Spark similar branding kind of thing with the light pink and light blue.
But they were there earlier.
And I think a lot of people are kind of like, hey, Hangzhou now, you know, there's one that really makes a lot of sense if you want. It might.
They're even wearing their skins in game.
Exactly.
A lot of them are in for Runaway. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
is it Runaway?
Well,
is it OG Runaway using? Runaway, I know they came back and everything, but yeah. I thought there was a different one though, but I could be wrong. Could just
no,
be
no. Wrong. It is. It was Runaway.
Oh, it was okay. Yeah, they just revived it then.
I've not been paying attention to the Asian region whatsoever. How'd Runaway do?
Not good.
Oh, okay.
They weren't bad per se. They were still like playing pretty well, but like once they went up, they're like a 14, second tier.
Yeah.
I thought
they lost to Genesis right away. It was just kind of a shame. But
I thought people were quite disappointed with them. Maybe just people had higher expectations.
So yeah, exactly. They had their first game against Falcons, so that was an interesting game. And it despite being like a 3-0 or 3-1, I don't remember. The score was one-sided, but the game itself was pretty tight, so I guess that's why. You'd assume that maybe they're a little bit better, but they ended up kind of like dropping the ball, losing to Genesis, which were so much of a lower seed than they were, so Maybe it's just a grouping or how they were constructed. Anyways, but it was fun to see their logo back and, you know, play.
Would have been more fun to see Bumper Hacksaw.
Yeah, they tried to, but they couldn't even make it to the...
Yeah, I remember.
They got rolled.
They did.
The introduction, though, of China reopens a market for Blizzard that obviously they likely never wanted to leave in the first place. And I think if we think about this, even broader than Overwatch, it puts a, I don't know if it's a cash infusion per se, because I think most, I would presume most would get their titles and their licenses of whatever it is they have back. Mm-hmm. But it opens the door for that monetization component, sure, and in turn helps pay for things, which then may go towards, you know, bring it back to Overwatch, further development of the game. Because as we've sort of seen in the recent months, like we've talked on this show in past episodes how the PvE model that they were trying to use needed to be worked on. Well, guess what? They're not even working on it anymore. It's out the door. PvE's done. Like, it's, we're going to be a competitive title. So I wonder if this might prompt the possibility that something like that does get revisited.
Yeah, now that, like, Overwatch League is done, and I think it's, esports was never meant to be, like, the thing. It's kind of like a marketing arm to the game itself. And obviously, the Chinese region was always popping off in terms of monetization, how many eyes it gets on the game. So that's like the ultimate goal of an esport, and we're seeing that with the Japanese region a little bit. Apparently there's like many like top tier streamers who just go into the game now all the time, and they have, you know, bring in like 30,000 40,000 viewers, and it's really having some sort of a resurgence there, in kind of like what Latin America used to be in the early days of Overwatch. So any type of another region or another funnel of eyes, coins, whatever you want to call it, is great for the game. And the game itself is in a good spot. You know, people like to really, you know, take a massive poop, and I'm not talking about the player on the game a lot. Not just like random normies on common forums, but also like gaming media likes to really bring in the poops. So,
well,
to people who are in Overwatch, I think a lot of them will agree, like, it's in a good spot. We just need more infusion content is there. So,
well, but I'm happy for it. That's the thing, is the infusion costs money. And, you know,
if it's just reopening the gates for a huge region that has already kind of like,
well, that's what I was sort of saying, is that does that allow for more money to come back in that had sort of dried up? Like, it needs to be, the game and the development has to be paid for.
Yeah. Somehow.
We're sort of beating around what's already been released news wise, but in case you didn't hear, some big changes are happening to Overwatch as we know it. The first big change is how heroes are going to be released. They're no longer going to be locked behind a battle pass. When the hero goes live, you get the hero. It's unlocked for all. I don't know if they came to the realization that they were running into sort of a competitive imbalance in even not in competitive mode, but in QP. In other modes, but also creating a scenario where the small hero ecosystem, having one or two heroes locked out, has a drastic impact with gameplay, because not all of the new heroes have, you know, distinct counters anymore. excuse me.
Right.
But we're going to see this happen when Venture goes live, which is soon-ish. She'll be available in Season 10. Other changes, they've changed the way skins or mythic skins are earned. The long and short of it is that they're introducing a mythic shop which now allows you to buy mythic skins, not so much earn them. I don't necessarily have an issue with being able to buy a skin. If the whales are out there and they want to buy it, have at it.
How much does it cost?
Don't know. But considering how much they've been charging for other cosmetics in the game, like you wanted the Cowboy Bebop back, you were dropping some serious coin.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be a mythic price.
Yeah. They're going to change how coins are earned. The thing about the coins, they talk about, oh, we're giving you more currency. You do not earn currency that you can spend in the game, in like the cosmetic shop or to buy a battle pass. Like the coins you are earning are to buy the stuff. If you've been a long time Overwatch player, more than likely already have. So yeah, you get 60 more coins. Congratulations.
Yeah. And it's also like that hyperinflation of like, oh yeah, I'm a millionaire, but a loaf of bread costs me like 500,000 coins. Yeah, doesn't mean much.
Exactly. They're planning on adjusting competitive and core gameplay mechanics. They did that in season 9 and did the reset, and they're actually thinking of doing this more frequently now. They're also talking about how they're going to change the map distribution. So there's a new map in a limited time clash trial. So Hanayoka, which I think would be a repurposing of existing content. That's going to come out in season 10, and in season 11, they'll have a new push map, Runasapi, and then they're going to make some adjustments to other maps. But all of this is just saying, hey, we're changing how we're going to do things. But one of the other things that has come out is that, yeah, the PvE is done. Like, we might get special sort of, you know, seasonal mode kind of things, but the actual storyline stuff that was going to be fleshed out, which was the remnants of the actual PvE experience that was originally talked about, it's all out the window. That entire team apparently was repurposed. So,
yeah,
that's the big change since we last recorded.
Yeah, it's kind of like even more upsetting. obviously more upsetting that just they teased us a little bit as to what it might be, as opposed to like if they never even, you know, started with that thing to begin with. But I guess it makes sense.
I mean, would you rather have got nothing or something? Well, right,
I'm not complaining. I mean, about the something, it's, I think, to use the word that Alex said, they teased us.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not happening. Yeah. Like, that it's hard to go and celebrate that as a success.
After what they released with, I want to say it was season 6, the what did it start with? An A, didn't it? Invasion. Not an A. With the invasion season and the PvE that they did release, like, I feel a little bit like, I'm sorry, but if you saw that and thought we had more of that coming, then you've lost your marbles. Like, I thought that was a clear sign that they weren't going to be doing that again. You know, we knew it wasn't what they wanted to release, but I think they were so far down the line with it that they just said, we have to just put it out, you know, in some playable state and hope for the best. And I mean, as we know, like, it was okay received for the money. I don't think most people bought into it. And I think that's probably where it shows. I'm not sure if you have it on the run of show, but there was another report that was leaked about the Overwatch developers not getting their profit share or something like that.
Well, yeah, it previously was a shared bonus.
Yeah.
So like, if Blizzard titles collectively did well,
yeah,
all Blizzard employees got a share of the bonus. Mm-hmm. It changed under Bobby Kotick, who said, no, performance should be rewarded. Mm-hmm. And as a result, this past year, yeah, the Overwatch team didn't get zero.
Anything. Yeah, literally nothing. Which, hey, you know, like, pay your people. You know, you're touting that the game has sold 100 million copies or 100 million players or whatever, then you better be paying your people. So anyways, that's kind of BS. But my point is just, you know, the state that the PvE came out in, it took them that long to get there. I think if we thought we were going to get something equivalent to that every year, it would have just been, I mean, it would have gotten old. It would have gotten boring, just like, you know, Junkenstein's Revenge did or does, or the other ones that they've released, the Archives event, you know, mm-hmm. Those things were just small modes that I think, you know, they put up a few walls in a map and add some waves of enemies and say go. Mm-hmm. And that takes them, you know, far less time than what they put out with the invasion season. So I thought the writing was on the wall when they put that out. I didn't really think we would ever get anything quite that extensive. And if we did, it would be very few and far between. So I wasn't too shocked to hear this. I don't even think they officially confirmed it. I think it was kind of leaked. That
it's just leaks. I should maybe qualify that. Normally we don't partake in leaks, but hey, it's been a month and speculation's all we got.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, it stinks, but it stinks that we never got what was originally promised, but we've also beaten that horse to death. That's for sure. Yeah. So
to sort of wrap this in a bow, I think it's that Blizzard has had different voices at the table, all from different places in the organization. So like the old ATVI days, you had competing mm-hmm. voices there. You had competing voices in the competitive scene. You had competing voices on how we do things, the way we do things, why we do things the way they do, the old guard. Mm-hmm. They are thinning the voices at the table, which is a good thing. But the voice that then remains may not be the voice that each of everyone, us,
yeah,
you know, sort of aligns with. The unfortunate part is they've set a number of expectations, whether fairly or not, and they just haven't met them, which sort of ties into like what you brought up, the bonus situation. Like the way Blizzard had structured it was to ensure that games got done right. Mm-hmm. And if a particular title needed to be massaged more, there was still a financial incentive to work there as opposed to either trying to go to another team or two, piecing the heck out of the company. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to point out, that was before Microsoft had acquired them. That decision was made.
One thing to backpedal a little bit, one thing we didn't talk about is the NetEase deal being a Microsoft Blizzard deal, not an Activision Blizzard deal, which really makes me wonder if Activision had maybe tried to push for a temporary deal or something like that, or if Activision just straight up was unable to come to the table because Microsoft said, we're not involving being involved in this yet.
We had talked about the deal at the time or the lack thereof. We had, mm-hmm. and we had, I think, speculated that it could be one of two things. Activision being hamstrung because of a deal that they're trying to consummate with Microsoft taking so darn long.
Yeah.
Or two, Activision looking to keep things lean.
Right. Yeah.
Because
how many months has it been since the deal officially went through?
The Microsoft Activision deal?
Like, has it been like coming up on a year? Wasn't it like June of last year?
I was going to say, I thought it was like late summer.
Probably.
Yeah, June, July, August, something like that. So maybe 6 to 9 months kind of thing. So it hasn't
really. The NetEase deal was like spring. It would have been about a year ago.
Yeah. So it hasn't, you know, realistically, in terms of Microsoft taking or stepping into the picture, it hasn't been that long for them. I'm sure they pretty quickly identified that they were missing out on a huge market. They have access to all of Activision and Blizzard's financials. I'm sure they could look at, hey, what was the drop after the NetEase deal fell through? You know, how much were we making in the Chinese region before and how much are we missing out on? And then they probably pretty quickly said, we got to fix this. Phil Spencer is in the picture with the NetEase folks. So I'm sure he's spent some time in China with whomever over there shaking hands mm-hmm. and such. So.
And, you know, thinking of Microsoft holistically,
shaking babies and kissing hands.
Their approach, to gaming is changing.
Yeah,
like by all accounts, they're actually trying to ensure that they can distribute their product, their gaming product, everywhere, on anything. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that if you're missing a significantly large market in China. Moving into other things, we talked about Venture is going to be the next hero. Did either of you get a chance to play Venture when she was in the game? She had like the weekend of play that they've been doing with New Heroes. They did it with Mauga.
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't either.
I missed it.
I did. I had a lot of fun with them. They're very much the vibe that I got was, and I mean, lots of people have talked about this, but sort of similar to Reaper because their range is not great. And that was kind of surprising. You know, I mean, typically the first thing I do when I'm trying this out is I'll just play a match, but then I'll go into the practice range while it's queuing for the match and just mess around on the new hero. And, I was really surprised at the range. That was something that I hadn't realized would be so short. So their primary fire was quite short. In terms of how it feels a lot like Sigma's little balls minus the bounciness of them. But the interesting thing is, they feel very sort of combo built where there's a clear sort of flow to how they play and how you want to work them, you know, on the battlefield or in a fight. And it was really cool, really fun. And it felt to me a lot like when original DPS Doomfist came out. And Doomfist's kit was just a little too much for me to manage. And I think that was in large part because the controls on console, on a controller, were not the easiest to manage with a DPS Doomfist. He's a little better now, but I still don't really play him that much. Anyways, Venture I found made a lot more sense because that flow feels a lot smoother when you're, you know, digging into the ground, shooting up, dashing into someone, shooting again. And it's very cooldown cycling kind of focused in order to initiate, disengage, and work around the space and that kind of thing. So really cool. Lot of fun. I think they're going to come out and be overpowered at least a little bit.
Every new hero big, is.
Exactly. With the exception of like Lifeweaver, every single one has been. And when they haven't been, they then tune them up in the next patch and make them way too powerful. So anyways, we know it'll happen. But I think, quite a bit of fun. The sort of one area of vulnerability that I felt was when they dig into the ground, there's a bit of a moment there where they pop up before going down. And that's, I think, where, you know, if you're a coordinated team, you'll really be able to abuse them, because if you can get them before they enter the ground or even get them low when they come out, I think they gain some shield, but you'll be able to just burn them down. So I think they'll play with things like how quickly that happens. Maybe the cooldown on the dig ability, but overall a lot of fun, out the game.
Yeah. I saw some streams. I didn't get a shot to play. I did see, them used as a great, point stall. Hero. Like, cause he can just last there forever. He can go out, go in.
Tracer Venture is going to be incredibly stally. Man. Bringing a Lucio on that, like, it'll be intense.
If I have one complaint about Venture, is they took like inspiration from different heroes, whether, you know, be sort of an underground Doomfist, a little bit of Junk Queen, Reinhardt, and created a hero that I think now has abilities that could have fixed Reinhardt. They have stolen the chance for Reinhardt to be glorious again.
They've
to dig underground.
Well, no, it's more the way they use their kit, not so much the underground,
but the sort of combo ability, that flow state kind of thing.
Correct. Like, and I'm not trying to suggest, you know, make Reinhardt mobile, but like you think about like Reinhardt in his current state, he is simply a shield that breaks eventually. And a whole lot of hit points.
Yeah.
Like the fire strike is handy. You got two of them. The cooldown sucks. Like you're in a projectile world. It's the one hero that can't really contribute. And once the shield's gone, you have to invest so many resources to keep them up. Mm-hmm. So with where Venture's kit is, I feel there was some, they could have taken some of that and given to Reinhardt and then have Venture be the DPS meat shield.
You make a good point, and something that I hadn't really thought of is like, how do we fix Reinhardt? And that would be a really interesting way for them to do it, is give him sort of some form of that flow rather than shield swing.
Give him wall climb.
Duck behind a wall, right? Give him wall climb. I don't know what they would do. But that's something I had never considered is giving his abilities more of a sort of play on each other to make him stronger.
Well, taking, you know, this a step further, one of the things they had discussed in talking about Venture's ability is some of the other adjustments they're looking to make. So they talked about how, you know, the impact of Carnage, Worksetter, they're going to be improved. I still don't think that fixes Ryan. But that was it for those two.
I know.
Ball's going to be able to go and retract on his claw. There's other sort of changes with shields, things of that sort for Ball. Some adjustments in damage heroes and support, shifts in power for them, blah, 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 blah. Like, there's some changes. But what's interesting is it's as if maybe the data states that this is the case. Reinhardt's okay. But everyone to anyone in the scene will tell you Reinhardt is not a hero that should be picked. Like, every the recent patch, it's like on hero tier, F tier. I don't recall Reinhardt ever being F tier.
That bad. He just gets burned down so easily and so quickly. And
I don't want him to take away all the adjustments that contribute to him being burnt down, but there needs to be something else. Now, what might that be? Did you have a chance to play on the April Fool's patch?
I did.
The April Fool's
patch. I did not play Reinhardt.
In placeholder text.
Yes, I enjoyed that. Was that intentional? Do we know yet?
Yeah, it was totally intentional.
Absolutely.
Okay, I was not sure. Nothing against the Overwatch team, but I was like, did this sneak through? But anyways.
So one of the things that often will happen when the April Fool's patch is released is that Blizzard introduces not only crazy abilities and adjustments, but some ideas they'd like to just float in to see if they stick.
Like Mini Malga.
God, Mini Malga was nuts.
He was adorable.
Now, I want to bring it back to what Reinhardt's adjustments were. Reinhardt could use his primary fire while the shield was up to reflect a projectile. Now, if you reflect or you have your reflection up, your health starts to drop 20% every second, which, you know, 5 seconds, you're done. You don't want to do that. You're still going to melt. But the fact that you're able to reflect projectiles with your shield kind of solves a lot of what that problem would be. The barrier also shrunk in size by half when he was reflecting. But I feel like that's something that maybe was an ability they were trying to float as being, would this actually work in reality? Still needs a little more seasoning. Now, Mini Malga, maybe not so much. The fact that, this is the thing about Malga. Mini Malga not only was a scale by 50%, so super small, 25 hit points. And it says hitting enemies who are on fire will ignite them. Like, I'll admit, hitting Malga was difficult, but you just had to hit him once.
Malga's scale was reduced by 50%. I actually hadn't looked at these patch notes. I jumped into the April Fool's mode.
Chose Zen, started helicoptering across the sky.
I just saw the challenges and was like, oh, there's a mode. I'll jump into this. I had no idea that this was the case until I started playing, and I don't even remember who I played first, but I think I saw Mini Malga and was like, oh, that's funny. And then I just saw wild things start happening. And I hadn't actually gone and looked at the notes until just now. Some of these are fun, you know. I think some of these should stay for sure.
Well, but that's the thing, is there are
balance be damned.
That's right. Are adjustments that you were like Sombra, for instance. The only adjustment that was made to Sombra for the April Fool's mode, killing an enemy infected with virus attempts to spread to a nearby enemy.
Yeah.
Like that. Oh, that's a whole lot of fun.
It's a cool one.
That's one that could easily be
and
brought over, right?
It really encourages team play with Sombra, right? Sombra's whole thing is identifying a target, and if she hacks and then, you know, attacks them, if your whole team notices that as well, they're going to burn down that person. If you burn that person down and they're next to another person and then the virus jumps, you know, that's a really interesting team play ability. you know, Junker Queen being able to throw Gracie and then zip herself over to the knife instead of the opposite. Great for mobility, right? Just wild stuff.
Yeah. It'd be dangerous.
Yeah.
The one thing that kept throwing me off was that as Anna, if I'd hit asleep, they'd start to float in the air. Then when they woke up, they'd take fall damage on the way down.
Oh, that's my Fulton idea, remember?
Yeah, that's right. The little balloon floats them away.
I was hitting sleeps like with wild abandon. It was crazy. I don't know what had happened to my accuracy, but the problem was that it would then take the heroes like out of like line of sight or out of the way of other abilities. But the damage that was received through that fall wasn't at all significant. I like the context of like the fall damage occurring. Like you should be able to, like if you sleep someone in the air, they hit the ground and maybe take a little hurt. I like that.
That must feel horrible for the slept individual.
Torb could put your turret on anything. The number of times I've run into a brig with a Torb on her head or
I was throwing it on Mercy. Pog champ.
Yeah. Watching it fly around the map was great. Some of these, honestly, I didn't even see. Like,
put it on a Pharah. That's a great idea. Yeah. Or on Echo.
Yeah. There was D.Va had 900% increased knockback when using her D.Va bomb. So if somebody got hit by the mech, they would go 900% farther than previously. Yeah. So just crazy stuff. Lots of fun.
Zarya bubble increased your size. But the thing about it, like it almost doubled your size. It was like by 1.75 times. But because the bubble was so large, the hitbox is massive. It was collecting like everything that would be thrown that way while the bubble was on it. Right. The Winston one, this is actually the one that I think I've seen
Winston most people, makes a lot of sense too.
Yeah. Is that, his secondary fire chains and that, the lightning chaining, amongst targets makes a lot of sense. I don't know about the primal rage where they lightning chains through enemies, but I could totally see the secondary.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, just kind of reading through some of these now and they basically just made Brig a tank. Scale increased by 1.5 times. Armor increased from 50 to 150. Health increased to 700. Like, they literally were just like, we're just going to make her tank. Always uses bigger shield.
We've talked about there needing Reinhardt to be a support-style tank.
I mean, that's what Brig was, and everyone hated it.
Well, for me, the thing was, she was a support hero playing the tank role.
True.
Right? I mean, the other thing, though, about the April Fool's patch is the introduction of the modified voice lines. Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Hearing, pressing Q.
Doomfist. Like, wee.
Yeah.
Boom. Or, like, 4:57. Quarter past six. Like, that, I like that just because it's the irreverent. The, giant dragons going, nom, 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 nom.
Yeah,
eyeballs through the wall.
Hanzo one. Yeah. Did you know that tracers recall randomly sends you to the past or future, changing how your pulse pistol works? I wish I had experienced that. I
never played tracers.
Want to know what that means? But
the future.
Yeah,
what does that work?
I don't know.
You're like in Overwatch 3 playing 4v4.
Suddenly two tanks.
Yeah.
Two Rhines.
Speaking of actually two tanks, there was that other mode since we last recorded where it was one of the hacked weekends or hacked days where you could pick two support heroes. Double Anna sucked. Actually, let me rephrase that. I really enjoyed playing Double Anna. But well, like,
it wasn't good.
Oh, like sleep. And then as you're just about to wake up, because like with a sleep, if you play Anna regularly, you know the timer, right? So it'd be like sleep. And guess what's happening? While that second sleep is applied on you, the timer on that first sleep is counting down. It wasn't quite perfect where you could get a couple of sleeps, like sleep. But, the number of like heroes that me and another Anna would be sleeping. It was like we had this, connection where we knew we're just going to sleep this person to quit.
That's funny.
Double Mercy, that was horrible to play against. So much heals.
I didn't play too much of that that round. Do you think they would ever do that? Bring that to the live game? just well, allowing I mean, you to choose two of the same hero.
OG Overwatch, you could have six Winstons jumping over Hanamura's, you know, first choke point. Like, or like, you know, it was, you know, five Torbs and a Rein. With like, you know, I mean, the problem with the five Torbs and a Rein is back then you had to go and pick up the scrap to upgrade your turrets. But boy, when there were five of those turrets maxed out on like defense, it sucked.
Any combo of like multiple Lucios and Winstons, it's game over. You can't do anything about that.
Oh, anywho, all fun stuff's going to come out in the next month or so in the time that we record our next episode.
Hey, stuff's coming out. That's already amazing.
Yeah. And then there'll be more things for us to discuss. And again, in a month's time, unless you're Alex here, who in a couple of weeks will say, hey guys, I can't make it tonight.
When we're not planning to record.
I was panicked when I saw your message in Discord. I'm like, were we supposed to record?
Well, I didn't see it until the next day. So
I'm like,
sure. It was right after the championship. So I assume.
No, I mean, it's logical and all of that. And so, and that's why I'm like, oh my God, maybe we did say we were going to do this. And I'm trying to coordinate with my wife. Like, hey, I might have to record like what's going on. And then, yeah, anyhow. Yeah. We'll be back in a month. We're like a monthly show now. We get together to, you know, talk about stuff and things. Very professional.
That's right. I mean, we'll have a stage two champion, and we'll probably maybe know something about Dallas. So,
it's in Texas.
Is it? Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. See, the more you know.
I guess so.
So if you reach this point of the show, which would be surprising, but I know there is a few of you out there that do listen throughout. You've probably already joined RSP Discord, discord.lsourceready.com, but if for some reason you haven't, join the conversation there. Currently, we're talking about taxes on gas in BC.
Yep.
I will admit that conversation allowed me to become more aware of actually the gas price and how it's put together in the province of BC. And if you didn't already know this, apparently the province of BC requires like double the refiner margin, which includes transportation costs, than any other province, which ultimately makes up the bulk of the difference between why our gas is so expensive. It's not actually taxed. I would have always, like, I always accepted it was taxed. So the more you know, not to say that tax is perfect or anything like that.
If it's taxing you, it's tax.
Yeah. But that's the thing. The tax percentage is actually almost equivalent to the rest of the country, which is crazy because we like tax paying. Well, we don't like paying it, but the government likes collecting it out this way. You can find us on social media. We're on X, Twitter, whatever it's called. Well, it's still running at Ready Set Home there. We're also on Threads at Ready Set Home. Can't say I've posted on the Threads account for like ever, but we're there.
Does anyone?
I do. I post on Red
Zone. I never bothered opening it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not downloading another app.
Well, so that's the thing is I uninstalled like Twitter from my phone. Like I had finally gotten to the point where I was being inundated with like spam accounts nonstop that I'm like, okay, this short of turning off notifications, an easy solution, uninstall.
But don't you want to know what they link to in their bio?
No, I don't. I don't. Random word with six numbers.
Internet is so bad. It's so bad right now. We had it so good like
what a sentence.
10, 15 years ago.
Internet is bad.
It's just so bad now.
So what you're telling me is that when we all started moving away from like MSN Messenger, ICQ, and GeoCities.
Yeah, that's when things started going to...
Hey, if your GeoCities page did not have an under construction GIF on it, was it really even a website?
Right.
And it would bonus points if you had like a MIDI autoplay someone came to the website. Bonus points if you actually had a player that allowed someone to cycle through different tracks.
And a custom mouse cursor. Yes. To boot.
Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you're right. Those were the good old internet days.
I was not an internet user during those days. I do not know what you're talking about. Oh, I mean, I know really? From... pop culture, but that's it.
Okay, yeah. In fairness, I'm old, so like for me, you know, my very first email account was when I went to university, and I got one there, and I had to use like their old Unix system to log in and check the email. On campus, like there was checking out anyone else. And then eventually AOL, I finally cashed in on one of the coasters/CDs they sent regularly in the mail, and I was on AOL for a bit. But yeah, those were the days. What final words of wisdom do y'all have for us this week?
Massive poop.
If you eat too much fiber, that will solve that problem.
Is fiber a player?
But contribute it in an entirely massive way. Just saying.
Fair enough.
Jordan?
I mean, very, very similar to Alex. I was just going to shout out at MassivePoop_OW on Twitter for sponsoring this episode inadvertently. He's got 30 followers. So, you know, let's get that count up.
Oh, yeah. What the hell?
But it's clearly the massive poop from OWCS. If you look at his account. So he's tweeting about Visored and everything.
I'm going to follow him right now.
Yep, me too. Yeah. Done. From 30 to 31. 32 even.
Well, okay. Seeing as we're on the topic, do you guys want to hear a poop joke?
Only if it's massive.
Always. Yeah. Always.
Actually, you know what? Never mind. It's too corny.
Oh, gross.
I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. Okay, fine. Are you ready for another poop joke?
Always, yes. Well,
actually, maybe not that one. It stinks. Did you, man.
Poop did jokes are my favorite. Did you load these up during the show, or did you have them in the chamber?
They're definitely a solid number two. No, I actually loaded them up now. Okay. They're much better than the crap
that the poops?
Gonna share. Oh, man. Well, as you can see, it's been a while. And we talked about some stuff and some things. But if you want to, you know, catch up on everything that's going on in the world of Overwatch, I presume the One Man Watch Point podcast is still creating content?
Yeah, sort of. I've mostly transitioned to once a month as well. Oh, I think I'm going to do an episode next week because, of course, then we'll be through the partway through the group stage. And also, season 10 will be out. So, likely an episode next week.
Okay. Well, I was going to send people to your show to catch up on everything that we probably should have covered and we didn't, but apparently you haven't recorded yet. No. So, check out Jordan's show next week. Yep. But on behalf of Alex at OmniStrife, myself, Chris at LifeForce, and Jordan at Sir Dr. Jam, catchphrase!